This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
What will the mainline churches of America look like at the beginning of the 22nd century when our Western civilization has disregarded the Ten Commandments as its moral base, and when the people have no basis for what will happen to them after death? What will it look like when the primary populace of the Christian church is on another continent? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We invite you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, there are times when your word truly disturbs us, and this is one of those days. For here we have a text where we hear that kind, loving Lord Jesus say, "Because you have been disobedient, I will withdraw the kingdom from you and place it in other parts of the world." God, we know that's happened before, and it could happen again. We ask, O God, that we may listen carefully, that your word may give us the answers, and that it may cause a response in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. It's a text for my sermon today, which I have entitled, Haunting Questions. Listen. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servant to the tenant to collect his fruits. The tenant seized his servants, They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures a stone the builders rejected has become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, life presents us with many haunting questions. I recall when our children were small that I worried if my wife would die. It generally came after I had had a funeral for a young mother, leaving behind several children. And the question haunted my soul. How would I put up with something like this? Would I have the same grace that this particular young father had? Would I have the courage and the determination to go on? It was a haunting question. Or today when I read about these young women who are kidnapped and raped and finally found murdered, what would my response be if it were my daughter? That is a haunting question. Well, it's that same type of thing, perhaps even more realistically than those two that I have mentioned, that come to my soul today as I read this parable. And evidently the fathers of the church thought it was right that congregation should hear a sermon preached on this text, for it is a part of the lectionary for this day. And it comes to mind, what would Jesus say in the words of the parable if he were addressing the church of Christ today? Let's take a look at the parable. Jesus tells the story of a man who planted a vineyard. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a vacation. When the rent was due, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect, but they killed the servants. Again, the owner sent other servants to make the collection of the rent, and the tenants killed them. And then the owner said, well, I'll send my son. Certainly there'll be respect for him, and I will get my pay. But when they saw the son coming, they said, this is the heir. Let's kill him. And then the parable ends. But Jesus said to those who were listening to him, what will he do to those wicked tenants? And obviously the people answered, well, he'll find other tenants who will give him the share of the crop at harvest time. Finishing the parable, Jesus said to the chief priests and the Pharisees, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits. When a spiritual leader heard Jesus' remarks, they knew that he was talking about them. Now, here are the two haunting questions. Might that happen to the Church of Jesus Christ today in certain parts of our world? And another question that we might ask ourselves, are we producing the fruits that our Lord expects? Have we, perhaps in a more sophisticated way, killed the prophets? And do we, with our indifference, crucify the Christ? These are haunting questions if you take your Christianity very seriously. Is this parable applicable for today, or do we just open up the Bible to this 21st chapter of Matthew, read it, expound on what happened 2,000 years ago, close the book and go home and say it has no reference to us whatsoever? Is he talking to a church that he may be very, very unhappy with? At the beginning, of course, you know, in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God was limited to the nation of Israel. God selected one by the name of Abraham, who was the father of this kingdom. And he said, I'm going to make you a great nation, and out of you will come one who will be the Savior and the Lord of the world. Abraham, you and your people are going to be blessed by me in order that you might be a blessing. And so the nation began to grow. But they were rebellious people. They were disobedient. They killed the prophets who came and tried to reason with them to turn back to God. They stoned some, and they turned their backs on others. Finally, God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know what happened to him. They nailed him to a cross, and there he died as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. But God was not done with this people. After all, he had created them in his image. He had created them to be his forever. What would happen? Well, the kingdom would take on another shape. It would not be a nation. It would be people from all over. And one day Jesus was standing talking with his disciples when he asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, with great excitement, said, "Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, you are Peter, and on this rock," meaning Peter's confession, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In other words, he is saying, "I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to many. But this kingdom is going to be different than the first one, or the first phase of that one. It is going to have a promise. For those who really trust me as Savior and Lord, the day may be very difficult, and many may die the martyr's death, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against that true church, the church within the church." 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, it was Pentecost Sunday, and the Holy Spirit came in a most unique way. Peter stood up and preached the famous sermon, which is recorded in Acts 2, and that day 3,000 people confessed their faith in Christ and were baptized. The Church of Jesus Christ was born. That church, as I have already said, was no longer limited to people of one nation, but all people who confessed Jesus as Savior became a part of that kingdom. And so it has gone on through the years of history. St. John describes the church in this way, "And there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. All who are baptized believers in Christ Jesus, confessing him as Savior and Lord, make up this great kingdom, and they live with a promise, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you." Thousands have tried to put the church out of existence, and they are still trying to destroy God's kingdom, but it will continue to bless this world until Jesus returns to take its members to heaven. But let's just think about this church in the light of today's parable. As the Bible says, the church was born on Pentecost. For the first 300 years, it was difficult to be a part of that church. Those were the years of hardship and martyrdom. But in 325, or thereabout, Emperor Constantine set the church free from persecution. Now it became popular and easy to be a part of the church. Some have said that Constantine's declaration of making Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire weakened the church, for now there were masses of people who claimed to be a part of the God's kingdom, but had no personal relationship with Jesus Christ at all. They used the church for material and political purposes, and the church became worldly. The church could turn its back on the promises of God. The church could go its merry old way. As the years went by, this visible church, seen by all people, battled over certain heresies and types of organizations and who should be the head of these organizations, until finally there were these divisions. There was a big division between the Western and the Eastern churches, and each went its own way. And then it moved on for a little while, and then came the Reformation. And out of the Reformation, the doors were opened to many groups known to us today as denominations. Some of these today we call the mainline denominations, known in America, for example, as the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Anglicans, the Congregationalists, the Methodists, the Baptists, and the list goes on. As we look at the mainline group of Protestants, we find that they are decreasing in church attendance and are weakening in biblical conviction. For many in these denominations, they have no relationship with God, but in their own mind, they are still members of the church. They are a part of the kingdom of God. But are they? Where are the people who built these beautiful cathedrals? Is it true that once they were filled with people who came to sing their praises to God, but now they are really no more than museums? Take a quick trip to Europe and you'll see what I'm talking about. Where are the great artists who were inspired to paint their pictures of biblical characters and other scenes? Their souls have been captured with the gospel. And so they expressed their testimony by writing and by drawing, painting, their music. Who are the successors of Bach and Handel? Where are they? I'm not a musician. Maybe they are here, but it is not evident to many of us who are laity in that area of life. Why is this? Have the souls of people been captured by the gospel so much that they are compelled to give expression to their faith? Where is the expression? The culture blesses the killing of the unborn in a well-churched nation. Marriages is no longer between a man and a woman, but we're well on the way to having same-sex marriage relationships become legal. And churches spend a lot of time wondering if they shouldn't bless such a union when God's word has said no. All the time, God speaks. He speaks powerfully in his word, but he speaks to a rebellious people. It is here, my friend, that the haunting question comes. Is the parable applicable to this visible church today? Is Jesus saying to this rebellious people, the kingdom will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits? He said it once to Israel. Could he say it again? Just talking with some friends who are back from a trip in that area of the world where St. Paul walked. And you ask them, what about the Christian church over there now? There are no churches to speak of. Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth. What will the mainline churches of America look like at the beginning of the 22nd century when our Western civilization has disregarded the Ten Commandments as its moral base? What happens to a people, a nation, when they have no eternal salvation, when they have no assurance that after death, there is life with God through the merits of Jesus Christ, their Savior? What happens to this blessed land where you and I have lived with a church on every corner, but suddenly we realize those churches are withered up and the majority of the Christian populace is not in America, but has gone to Africa? What do we do with these haunting questions? My personal belief is that if the Lord does not return before, the Christian church in the year 2100 will look much differently than it does today. The parable makes it clear that if a people rejects God's plan of salvation in Christ, God moves on to another group. Is the day coming, or has it arrived, when the movement is taking place? Right here within our own land, is there a movement of people leaving and joining other groups? Evangelical Christians are leaving the churches of their fathers and their mothers by the hundreds and thousands, and they are finding their place in groups where the word of God is being proclaimed, people are being converted, and are zealously sharing the gospel with all kinds of people. You can have a review of this parable and leave it way back in history. It might make us more comfortable after returning from church to do this, But we also have the challenge to ask the haunting question, is Jesus speaking to his church today through this parable? And if so, what will be his next move? Amen.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times thou bought a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity. Thanks for all eternity.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, we depend on your financial support to buy airtime on stations throughout the country. We thank you for your diligent prayers and generous gifts. October is calendar month at Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2006 calendar. This nature calendar features beautiful four-color portraits of spectacular scenes in the United States with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call or write. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.